Well, good morning, guys. It is awesome to be with you. This is encouraging. This bodes well for the future of our community of faith. And if you're a guest to it, we're glad you're here, because when men decide to pursue learning together and show a little humility, it usually goes well with women and children. It goes well with men. So we are really, really glad you're here. And I want to let you know right now, we don't want you just to be here today. We're not going to feed you like this every morning. But we're glad you're here today. We're about to embark after this for the next 8 weeks forward with a little study, as you can see behind me, through the book of Proverbs. And it is going to bless you. It is a book, as I will show you in a minute, that was written for idiots, men like me. Proverbs, and when I say for idiots, I mean that. You guys, if you've been around me at all, you know that I sometimes like etymology. I like to figure out origins of words because they mean something. And so when you hear the word idiot, it is a word that, you know, is offensive. Our mom told us not to use it with our brother or them, but we nonetheless use it a lot. The word idiot, the etymology of idiot literally means to own, like to own one's business. That's what an idiot was, somebody who owned their own business. In other words, nobody spoke into their life. So when someone calls you an idiot, you're basically saying, hey, apparently you don't do business in life with anybody. You're left to yourself. You have no outside counsel. And when you live that way, because the heart is desperately sick and deceitful above all else, you end up doing what all men do. And I'm now quoting from the Proverbs. You go a way that seems right to you, but in the end, it's the way of death. So many of us have experienced a death as we've gone through life because we've kind of gone through it alone, without any loving father, without any divine influence. And we either thought we didn't need it or we misunderstood the intentions of a loving father. And I hope we correct that in the weeks going forward. One of the things that I somehow came across years ago was little excerpts from federal employees' job reviews. And these are hilarious. Some of them are in the military. Some of them were just people who worked in our government. Those of us that have been a victim of government employees at some time won't be surprised to hear some of these reviews. Here's a little one-liners that showed up on people's reviews. I love this. Number one, I would not allow this employee to breed. I like this one. The associate is not so much of a has-been, but more definitely a won't be. When this gal opens her mouth, it seems it's only to change whatever foot was previously there. This employee has delusions of adequacy. This employee sets low personal standards for themselves and then consistently fails to achieve them. Y'all have seen this one, right? I love this one. This employee is depriving some village somewhere of its idiot. This employee should go far, and the sooner they start, the better for all of us. This employee got in the gene pool of life when the lifeguard was not looking. This employee's got a full six-pack, but they lack the plastic thing that holds them all together. This person donated their brain to science before they were done using it. Takes this employee 2 hours to watch 60 minutes. If this person were any more stupid, he'd have to be watered twice a week. If you give this person a penny for their thoughts, you'd get change. It's hard to believe that this employee beat out 1 million other sperm. I love that one. Since my last report, this employee has reached rock bottom and has started to dig. This was one from the military. His men would follow him anywhere, but only out of morbid curiosity. And then there was one, I'd like to take this employee hunting. Now look, it's one thing to kind of read those and they're kind of funny. I don't even know if they're made up. Who knows if they're made up? But they're all funny, but it's not funny when people under your care or who are around you feel the exact same way. It's not funny when you as a man are leading yourself, and because of the role that you have in a family, leading a wife and leading children, if your family feels like their father or a group of friends feel like their compatriot is the village idiot. None of us want to be that guy. One of the ways that all of us feel some sense of worth is when people respect us, and people will respect us when we live in a way that is skilled. That is the word for wisdom, chokmah. It's a word that shows up in Proverbs. And if I could just tell you one thing that by the grace of God I started to do years ago, right when I first came to faith, is I picked up this book called Proverbs, which is a book written for idiots. In fact, I went to the guys yesterday. We all know that little famous series, right, of book like, DOS, MS-DOS for dummies or whatever it might be. I said, man, put this together because this is a great picture of what Proverbs really is. It could be life for dummies. God says he's opposed to the proud, but he gives grace to dummies, individuals who go, I don't get it. Or I think I could do better. And folks, Proverbs is written for men that want to be skilled. If you'll just take a look with me right here at Proverbs chapter 1, let's just take a little peek at how it starts right out of the chute. It is written by Solomon, the son of David, the king of Israel. We know that Solomon was one of the wisest men that ever lived because he asked his heavenly father, when he could have anything from him, he said, give me wisdom. And one of the greatest gifts that God gave him was not that wisdom there, but also a father before him that sought wisdom and sought the God of life. Let me just stop right here just for a second and just tell you some stats that I just kind of reminded myself of this week. When you see a world or a certain part of the world that struggles with mortality rates for children. When infant mortality is high, you go, we've got to get help and aid to that country. Does anybody know what the infant mortality rate is in the United States of America? What if I told you it was over 20%? What if I told you the infant mortality rate in our country, that one out of five kids didn't make it to their fifth birthday? You would go, that country needs some real help. Well, first of all, I want to tell you, that is a true stat in America. You go, that's crazy. No, it isn't. If you understand when life begins and understand what we've been doing to generations of kids through abortion, almost 20% of every life that is placed inside a woman never gets spit out of the womb. Folks, that's shocking. Let me tell you what else is happening. In our country, once you are spit out of the womb, 40% of kids that come to term are born into a home without a father present. Now, in 1960, it was 11%. Today, 40% of all kids that are born into fatherless homes. So let's just walk this back. If you've got one out of for every 100 kids, 20 of them don't even make it out of the womb, just shy of 20, but roughly 20 don't make it out of the womb. Of the 80 that are left, 40% of them are born into a home without a dad. That's roughly 32 is, 40% of 80. So that leaves, all right, do a little quick math there, 48. 50% of those kids will have their father walk out on them. So we only have about 25% of our country that have present fathers. Of those 25 fathers that are there, how many have dads that are giving them what Solomon received from David? How many of you out there have what I would call a significant father wound? How many of you wish you had a loving, present father? Job's life got so miserable, not because he had an absent father, but at some point Job said, I wish I'd never been born. And I run into men all the time that have this quiet look of desperation, who have been through all kinds of pain, who have no idea how to make their way along, and they are dying for somebody to encourage them. One of my favorite things to do is just to listen to guys talk about their dads. You guys know who Bill Russell is, right? Bill Russell is a 11-time NBA champion, 12-time NBA All-Star, 5-time. Did he win the MVP in the NBA? A few years back, I think it was 2010, he received the Presidential Lifetime Achievement Award. David Faraday was interviewing Bill Russell and asked Bill Russell, Bill, is this one of the greatest achievements of your life? And he said, oh, it's nice. He said, but it's not the greatest honor I've ever received. And Faraday looks at him and goes, what's the greatest honor you've ever received? One of your MVPs? Was it when you were Sportsman of the Year for Sports Illustrated? He goes, no. He goes, it was my dad when he was 77 years old. And he looked at me and said, Bill, I'm proud of you. I'm proud you're my son. And I'm proud to be your father. He said, that was the greatest award I ever received. How many of you guys want people to be able to say the same to you? Hey, I'm proud you're my dad. I'm proud you're my boy. How many of you want to hear God say to you, I'm proud that I'm your father and my name is associated with you in the way that you lived on earth? Well, that can happen. Let me just say this. Even if the 25% that have a father from 0 to 18 in our country today, probably less than 2% of dads are active and present in engaging the next generation. And you might be sitting out there going, yeah, I got the short end of that stick. My dad deprived some village of its idiot. But I'm here to tell you, the book of Proverbs is for you. It was for me. This is a book that will reparent you. This is a book where there is a father who wants to care for you and love you. A number of years ago, a guy named Donald Miller started writing a little bit. He wrote a book called Blue Like Jazz. It kind of crashed him on the scene. But my favorite Donald Miller book, the only one I've ever really read, that's probably why it's my favorite, is a book called To Own a Dragon. And Donald Miller was born into a fatherless home. He was the parent of a single mom. And he just talked about how that scarred his life and how he didn't get strung out necessarily on drugs or he didn't become a statistic in prison. But he just said, I just didn't know how to do man. I didn't know how to be a guy. He writes this in his book. He says, because I didn't have a father, I felt like there was wisdom and a club, a wisdom I didn't know and a club I didn't belong to. I would have never admitted it, he says at the time, but I wanted to belong. I desperately wanted to belong. And so one of the things that he said as a kid, he used to fantasize about owning a dragon, I guess because he watched some movie, right, with maybe Pete's Dragon, where this kid who was kind of alone was adopted by this mythical creature that took them places they otherwise couldn't go and made people fear them and respect them. Maybe you feel a lot like Donald Miller. Listen to this paragraph that he writes. He goes, I felt as though all the men in the world secretly met in some warehouse late at night to talk about man things, to have secret handshakes, to discuss how great it was to have a penis and what an easy thing it was to operate, how to throw a football or a baseball, how to catch a fish and know what kind it was and be able to grab it and stop its flapping around, doing this without jolting your heads back or squinting your eyes like you're scared, that these men got together and talked about how to look a woman in the eye and tell her she was your woman and that she looks good in that dress and make it so your eyes say you love her, but you could survive without her, and how to drive a stick shift truck without grinding the gears. And then I secretly believe at the end of this meeting that the men that were in there gathered around and reminded each other that under no circumstance was anybody to tell me about these things. Man, that is a beautiful description of how so many of us men feel. And what I'm here to tell you is the book of Proverbs is for you. Because you've got a daddy who wants to tell you how to operate your penis. See week 3. It's no mistake, okay? That 6 times in the first 10 chapters, there's not just little zingers about that. There are long sections to talk about how to handle wild women and wives. You've got a father who wants to show you how to live in a way that the rest of the world would look at you and just go, you know what? If we had more men like that, this would be a better world. This is a book for men. It's a book for children, and because it will cause children to prosper and men to be men, it is a book for women. And it is good that we are here together. Proverbs 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, the king of Israel. And boy, he was proud of that. He said, to know chokhmah, wisdom and instruction. This is why Proverbs is there. The word Chokmah means literally skills, expertise. When you are wise, it means that brother is skilled in the way they live. They're skilled in the way they work through conflict. They're skilled in the way they handle money. They're skilled in the way that they view themselves. They're skilled in the way they handle praise. They're skilled in the way that they deal with lust. They're skilled in the way that they deal with every aspect of life. That word Chokmah is used for craftsmen in the scripture. It's used for sailors, for singers, for leaders, for counselors, for generals. And don't we love it when we see somebody who is skilled at what they do? This is what Proverbs says. Do you see a man skilled in his work? He will stand before kings, not obscure men. Guys, you need to know something. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Look, we all get that when we go through puberty, that something happens to our body and we start to have this sense of, I know better than anybody ever knew before me, and certainly better than this old man, that if I'm lucky enough to be one of the 25% that survived the womb and survived divorce, that my dad is physically present in the home. Maybe even if you're one of the lucky few that your dad was in that 2-5% that really spent any kind of substantive time with you, but you still at some point just go, you know what, I think I got enough of you. I know better than you. It's one thing for a 13 to 18 year old guy to think that, but most of us by the time we hit 22, 25, 30, we start to go, you know what? I guess I could have listened a little. Because some of what I'm bringing to bear, making this up as I go along, listening to the culture that tells me what makes me a man, or following the urges of my flesh, this isn't so skilled. And I'm not bearing much fruit. And here's what I would tell you. One of my favorite phrases that I used to use with my son when he went through those little phrases is, hey, I'm long on you, man. I'm long on you, which means that right now this stock, it is quickly depreciating in value, okay? You know, you idiot, the way you're running your business is not throwing off good profits and earnings. You see it in your life, I see it in your life, and I'm just telling you, I'm gonna go long on you. Because I believe there's gonna be a day when you get sick and tired of being sick and tired, and you're gonna come back humbly and listen to what I know you know, but you just haven't been doing. And you've got a father. Here's what I'm gonna tell you. I don't care if you're 65 and you're in this room. And the further you work your way back to 20, the more I would say this about you. But I don't care how old you are, you've got a father who is long on you. And he believes you can be a skilled warrior. He believes you can be a glory to him. He wants to look you in the eye and go, I'm proud of you. Well done, good and faithful son. The way you lived honored me and blessed those that I cared about. I gave you unique physical strength. I gave you unique privilege in this world. And you bless me because you blessed others, because you lived a skilled life. Wouldn't you love to hear that? You need to hear this morning. Your daddy's not done with you. And no matter how good you are, he wants to make you better. And he loves you. And when you listen to him, you're going to find out what I found out. And that is that when you listen to the loving words of your father, it's not burdensome. It is life-giving. I started as a young man who had just trusted Christ late in high school. I started to read the proverb that went with the day. There are, one of the things I love is just little riddles, right? In verse 6 in Proverbs, it says, the sayings of the wise and the riddles to understand them, because when you hear wise people talk, sometimes you kind of go, man, that's a riddle to me. I'm not really sure I understand that. And somebody's got to give you the answer, right? So it's kind of like this statement right here. How many months have 28 days in them? Yeah, right. A couple of you guys have heard that before. All of them. Right? Well, what do you mean all of them? Right? The first time a kid hears that, what? February's got 28 days. Oh, yeah. Only February 3 times every 4 years. Is that what you mean? No, all of them have 28 days. Some have 29. You know, February once every 4 years. Some have 30 and some have 31. Right? But they all got 28. And so what I started doing when I was a kid, I started reading Life for Dummies because it just fit me. It fit my attention span. They were pithy. They were powerful. They were riddles. It helped me unpack them and start to try and figure out what was meant there. And so I can't tell you how many times I have read this book. And I would read the proverb that would go with that day. And I wouldn't just read it. I would grab one and I'd say, this one's mine today. I would meditate on it. I would try and apply it and I would use it. So I read 1 through 28 12 times. I read 30 5, 6 times. I read 31 5, 6 times. And I would go through that book and I would get it right in my heart. And I can't tell you how many times I find myself in situations where I'm sitting there trying to figure out what to do as a young man in my late teens or a young man in my 20s in college, where I had the ability to make my way through a situation and to navigate life like I had not a dragon, but a divine friend who was near me who said, hey, don't act like a 21-year-old right now. Act like this. Think like this. And I can't tell you how many times it blessed me. I mean, the very first time it actually spilled out of my mouth, my brother and some of his friends were in the middle of just kind of being crazy and being idiots. And I just, you know, had gotten sick and tired of them kind of bullying me because I was trying hard to be an athlete at the time. And so I didn't want to do the stuff that most of my friends were doing. And certainly that some of the folks in my house immediately were running after drugs and all kinds of them and alcohol and all this. And so finally, I just said, guys, you do know this, right? You do know that God's word says that isn't something you should do. And they looked at me like I could interpret hieroglyphics. And they looked at me and go, what are you talking about? I said, well, you know, wine's a brawler, strong drink is a mocker. He is intoxicated by it, it's not wise. And they looked at each other and go, what? I go, that's what the Bible says. They go, you don't have any idea what the Bible says. And I'll never forget my brother who used to many times bully me in that phrase and not be very proud of me because I would kind of be a buzzkill and not go along with the crowd, looked and he said, no, that brother, you wouldn't believe what he knows. And I can remember these guys that were on their way to get drunk go, you know where something is in the Bible? It's a bunch of high school kids. And I go, yeah, I know where that is. They go, one guy goes, I'll give you $5 if you can find it in a minute. I go, well, you find it. Turn to Proverbs chapter 20. First one there staring at you. And I mean, you'd have thought I spoke Mandarin Chinese. They couldn't believe that I knew that. But I gotta tell you how many times I'd be out there and it looked like they were having all the fun and I would just listen to my dragon. I would listen to my God. He'd whisper, he'd say, hey, Todd, right? You know, who has woe? He who looks long at mixed wine. And it would just go, I'm not gonna go there because I had listened to my father. I grew up in a home where I had a really good dad. I was one of the lucky that my dad never left us. But never once in my life do I remember praying with my father, talking about scripture with my father, or opening a Bible with my father. Never. My dad basically said, don't embarrass the family name. That was the instruction I got morally. And when I looked at how everybody else was doing, I go, I think I can get over that bar. All right? But I wasn't ready. I wasn't ready to go out and live a way that people would say are skilled. And lo and behold, this idiot quit minding his own business and started letting God mind it for him. And I was raised by Proverbs. This is what it says in Proverbs 1. If you want to receive instruction in wise behavior, listen, guys, you want a person to describe you, wouldn't it be awesome? And go, how do I describe this guy? I don't know, he's righteous. Okay, righteousness has gotten a really bad rap. Like, oh, self-righteous. That's not what the word righteous means. It just means that brother, he's just right. I mean, the way he does, he's right. The way he goes through life, it's just right. If more people did that, you know, I don't really like him. Whenever I'm around him, I feel bad about myself. But if I was being really honest, he's right. And you know what, man, he's just. He knows the difference between right and wrong, light and darkness, bitter and sweet. A wise man, it says. Well, it says in verse 4, to give prudence to the naive, sense That's what prudence means. It doesn't mean like you're a prude. It means that you will know what to do when it's time to do it. To the youth, knowledge and discretion, a wise man will hear and not just quote Proverbs, but live them. He will increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. I love that word. That word wise counsel is a word that is used for the rigging to direct a ship. Isn't that a great picture? Because don't all of us as men, if you were a man, don't you think I could put you on a little spinner right there off the coast of the Rhode Island and say, go home to England, right? And you could be one of those guys that go, got this. You know how to tack into a wind, right? You know how to fish, tie a knot, and you could just sail your way across the stormy Atlantic. I mean, there's something about that that to all of us men, you kind of go, yeah, man, that men can do that. Well, not all of us are ever going to sail the Atlantic, okay? But you ought to have the kind of rigging that helps you sail through life in a way that people go, that's my dad. That's my man. And God wants that for you. And we're going to dig in together. I want to encourage you guys to start to whatever you do in the midst of this study, and I hate it how low we've set the bar for you. This is an entry level 8 weeks, but just go ahead and excel still more. Why don't you just start right now for the next 8 weeks? Just test me. Make your way through the last chapters of Proverbs 9 times. Through Proverbs for 9 weeks, all right? The rest of this month, you'll get to the end of the book. And so today's the 22nd. And you want to go diving through and read them, and then apply more study to the specific topic that we're taking on each week. Just test it for 9 weeks. See how it changes your life. But I'm going to warn you, you don't just want to read it so you did it. You want to grab one, read through all of them, underline, circle, remember another proverb that illumines that. And then what you want to do is grab one, write it down. I'm going to challenge you to write down one, okay? Maybe you can just do this. Read until you get to one that is just like that right there. I need that rigging. I need my sail set that way today. Write on an index card. You can memorize it in 15 seconds and carry it with you through the day, and you won't believe how many times that proverb will come into play in your conversation, and people will look at you like, how'd you know that? And the answer is because you got a dragon. And there is no secret men's club that says, don't tell anybody how to do this. You need to know this about your daddy in heaven. He loves you. And he is always more interested in sharing with you his will and perspective than you ever will be to seek it. You don't need to go find some Sherpa and get some yak and make your way up to some Himalayan mountain and hope you find the right cave. God is screaming at you. Proverbs 9, it just says, wisdom has hewn her 7 pillars. It's a noble house. It's clearly seen. It's the house that everybody knows where it is in town. She goes through the streets calling for the naive to come. God is desperate for you to sit with him. You don't have to wonder if you can have access to God. He has set the table. And he said, boy, sit with me and have breakfast. That dad that never discipled you, that dad that never poured into you, he is here. He is the father of the fatherless, and he wants you to be skilled and rigged up right. And it doesn't matter how long you've been messed up, man. God is long on you. Okay? So we'll just finish that if you don't know what I mean. I mean that stock right now, I don't care where it's at, it's going to turn around, because when your life gets under the right management, it's going to throw off a different kind of profit. It's going to throw off a different kind of good, and the world's going to say, I want more of that in my life. This won't happen if you know the Proverbs. This will happen if you're known by living according to them. Here's the deal. Look at Proverbs chapter 2 with me. Proverbs chapter 2 is a proverb that basically talks about what it's going to take for us to get where we want to go in this little journey of wisdom. It's really interesting. One of the things that you'll read, I think, in week 2, when we talk about how God wants you to view work and how you go through life as a man. A guy named Charles Spurgeon wrote a book, and he was talking just to the common man. And one of the things he said is true, is that men will ride stallions on their way to gain, but they ride snails on their way to godliness. Isn't that a great quote? When we see guys get after it to go make a buck, and they go giddy up. They get up early, right? They read the Wall Street Journal. They're in the office before anybody else. They're watching the overnight markets. When you watch a guy who's disciplined and works long so he can put some fading memory in his garage, we go, that brother gets it done. We revere men who ride stallions on their way to gain. But I'm going to tell you, we've all been around guys who have houses with lots of square feet, but not a lot of peace. Guys who dress well, but we don't think that they're skilled in the way they adorn themselves. And so many of us are guys that spend our lives seeking the wrong thing. I came across as I was thinking about what Proverbs 2 says, because it tells us how we can have more of this understanding of who God is. I came across this story months ago, and it peeked back into my mind this week as I was preparing about this guy right here. This guy is a ex-Vietnam fighter pilot who made millions when he got done. His name is Forrest Fenn. Forrest wrote a book called The Thrill of the Chase. And in 2010, Forrest hid this little box. It's a 10 by 10 gold box filled with gold coins and gold bars and a couple of egg-sized pieces of valuables. You can see those little rocks and they're chunks of gold. He hid it somewhere north of Santa Fe in the Rocky Mountains. And he wrote in his book, The Thrill of the Chase, this obscure poem. And he wrote a follow-up book. And people are buying this. And it's created this phenomena of folks that are looking for that box that he hid, worth anywhere from $1 million to $2 million. No one's exactly sure, but he said it's well north of a million. 60,000 people. In fact, New Mexico Tourist Bureau used this to draw people to New Mexico. As of like 6 months ago, they knew for sure that 60,000 different people have taken vacation to go there. Now, what's interesting, the reason I found out about this is because there was a pastor from Colorado who went there to look for it and died. And they couldn't find him because he went out on his own to look for this treasure, and everybody celebrated it, and he died in a tributary to the Rio Grande. And they go, this isn't the first guy that died. And they said, this other guy also died looking for this money. What's really interesting is one of them's wives just said, hey, we're going to take up where he left off. We're going to seek for that same thing. And nobody has really said anybody's crazy for taking time off work or maybe being completely dedicated to finding Forrest Fenn's fortune. But how many folks do we just go, if you took time off to study, if you got up early to study, if you got up early to mine for treasure that always provides and never disappoints, how many of us would think well of them? It's interesting because when you think about guys that chase for treasure, I also remember reading a long time ago a study that was done about lottery winners. And you know that after a certain amount of time that they say that people who seek after money, and by the way, Proverbs talks about that, how wealth takes wings. Don't weary yourself in the pursuit of it. Why? Because ultimately, that isn't what's going to make your life glorious. It's fine if you prosper, but don't seek to prosper financially at the cost of having faith in that which will ultimately make you skilled in living. Lottery winners, this shocked me, at the end of a certain amount of time, I can't remember if it's 10 years or less, but they end up having the same degree of happiness as quadriplegics. Time Magazine did a story in 2016 about this, and the title of it was, Here's How Winning the Lottery Makes You Miserable. And they interviewed a guy named Don McNay, who's a financial consultant and spends a lot of time, he's an expert in dealing with people who come into large sums of money very, very quickly. He said, if I had to tell you what happens to lottery winners, they commit suicide, they go through divorce, or somebody kills them. How about that? Listen to some of these quotes. Jack Whitaker, he was already a pretty wealthy guy when he won the $315 million lottery in a West Virginia town in 2002. And it was after he came into this incredible large sum of money that he said, I lost my daughter and my granddaughter to drug overdoses. My wife said to me when I was done, I wish we had torn up that ticket. And he said, I wish I had torn up that ticket too. He said, I just don't like Jack Whitaker anymore. I don't like the hard heart I've got. I don't like the man I've become. If Jack had read Proverbs, he would have come across Proverbs chapter 30, verse 8, which says, keep deception and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me, though, with the food that is my portion, that I not be full and deny you, O God, and say, who is the Lord? Or that I not be in want and steal and profane the name of my God. But Jack Whitaker, man, he was all about winning that Powerball. How about this one? Not Jack Whitaker, but there's Abraham Shakespeare. Abraham Shakespeare said, I'd have been better off broke. That was before they couldn't find him. Because once he made a lot of money, he was affectionately pursued by D.D. Moore, who later murdered him and buried him under a bunch of slab of concrete so she could have his winnings. Sandra Hayes won the lottery. She said, all this has done is caused emotional pain. There are people out there who I used to love deeply, and I still do, but they're turning into vampires, trying to suck the life out of me. Had Sarah known Proverbs 14:20, she wouldn't have been surprised by that. It says, the poor is hated even by his own neighbor, but those who love the rich are many. How about this one? Donna Micken, my life was hijacked by the lottery. She said, I used to be a happy person before I won the lottery, but now my inner dialogue is manic. My life was hijacked by the lottery. This is what it says in Proverbs 28:20. It says, a faithful man will abound with blessings, but he who makes haste to go rich will not go unpunished. Proverbs 17:1 says this. It says that better is a dry morsel and quietness with it than a house full of feasting with strife. Guys, here's what I want to tell you. Nobody thinks you're crazy if you spend hard-earned money on a lottery ticket because they go, man, if you win, you got it made. And I'm just here to tell you, that isn't what the data says. But people think you're crazy maybe when you really become serious about this book. That's what some folks say, man, you take this book too seriously. Why wouldn't I take seriously my dragon, this mythical creature that can lead me to life? Because it's not mythical. This is the wisdom of the ages. And like I like to tell folks, man, if I could go back right now to elementary school with 55 years of learning, all right, in my kids' elementary school, they gave out an award called the Positive Panther for good citizenship, for listening to your teachers and being a general blessing in the classroom. I got to tell you, I think if I went back to elementary school right now, I'd win Positive Panther 9 out of 9 months. It would be like the teachers say, we love Todd being in our class, but he does so well. I mean, I feel like he could be a teacher's aide. Not in our first grade class. I mean, he reads at least like at a sixth grade level, and he's just in first grade. His citizenship is outstanding. He never fights for the last cookie. It's like he knows there's more cookies in the world than just the 24 that she brought to class. I mean, can you imagine how wise you would be if you could go back right now to kindergarten? How about if you had an eternally omniscient father who said, let me help you through the 40s. Let me help you through the challenges of your 20s. It's the same thing. And when you watch a person live with divine wisdom through their 30s, the world goes, this is a positive panther. They are skilled. But it doesn't just come from reading. Proverbs 2, watch. My son, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, if you will make your ear attentive to wisdom, if you will incline your heart to understanding, that is wisdom applied. If you cry for discernment, if you lift your voice for understanding, it says, if you seek for her the way folks are looking for forest fens, millions, and search for her as hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. That's when you get it, not when you have a cursory reading, not when you just kind of throw it out there, but when you search for it and you glean from it and it has effect on your life. For the Lord gives wisdom. That's what it says. He wants you to know. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in it. Who doesn't want that? It says in verse 9, then you will discern righteousness and justice and equity and every good course. For wisdom will enter your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will guard you. Understanding will watch over you to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things. And man, it's out there. From those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who delight in doing evil and rejoice in the perversity of evil. I mean, we should stop a little bit more and sit in these and think about the promises that are there. Whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. Your father wants this for you. You know, we started talking at the very beginning about fatherlessness in our country, and I just started to think through, what do kids want from their dad? They want that affirmation, for sure. They want that, I'm proud of you. But what they really want is they want a dad that invests in them. I tell parents all the time that this is the number one rule of parenting. You must be present to win. Kids spell love, T-I-M-E. And when you get a kid whose daddy ain't there, or who ejected out for some brunette, or some business, or some infatuation with some college football team is going to disappoint, or some car, or some career, you got a kid who goes, I don't care what he gives me, he doesn't love me. I wish I had time. Can I just tell you something? Your father has a seat at the table for you. Behold, he says, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. You want time? He's waiting for you. And it's not going to be to lecture you, it's going to be to love you and get the rigging right. You know what else kids want? Kids want leadership. They want somebody they can respect. Boy, you want somebody to respect, you follow the ways of the king. You want glory restored, you follow your old man. You can be proud of him. They want direction, they want solid answers. This is what it says in Proverbs. It says in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 27 and 28, you know, the kids want to understand why. I'll tell you that proverb in a second. They want to understand why things work that way and what happens and understand it. Proverbs 26, 27 and 28 says this, can a man take fire in his bosom and not be burned? Behold this then, my son, whom I loved, you will be well pleased. Let me explain why this is so. You have a father who is ready to explain to you and give you instruction. That's what kids want. Kids want the dad's heart. They want to know that their dad loves them. And man, if you read this book, you're going to find out again and again, it's there because he loves you. You want a dad's blessing, and you're going to find out that this book says again and again, you're going to find if there's any one theme throughout Proverbs, it's going to be, hey, look, man, this is the way of the wicked. It's not going to work out well for you, not because I'm going to punish you, but because living like an idiot is its own punishment. But this is the blessing of those who walk in righteousness. The righteous are like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, but the way of the wicked is not so. They might prosper for a moment, but at the end, they're going to be like the chaff which the wind drives away, Psalm 1 says. God is for you. But Proverbs 2 is there. It's like, you know, on one side, there's the forest fence story. On the other side, it's like all of us sometimes have things in our possession that we don't know how valuable they are. There's a story of a guy in upstate New York who went to some, garage sale that was out there. He bought this bowl right here for $3. Had it in his house for a long time, and then eventually he thought, you know what? I wonder what that bowl is and where it came from. It turns out it's a ding bowl. It happens to be from the Northern Song Dynasty. There's only one other one that we know that exists, and it's the English Natural Historical Museum. It's been there for 60 years, and this thing is valued at $2.2 million. And it was sitting in his living room with M&Ms in it. And you're kind of like, what in the world? And I'm telling you guys, you don't know what you have. And it's worth a whole lot more than a ding bowl, dingbat. And what I want you to do, all right, is to dive in. I want to end with this because I asked my son if he could do it. A number of years ago, we did a men's breakfast. I don't know if you guys remember. My son, Coop, was getting ready to go off to college. I sat down. He was head of the University of Arkansas, and I just said, hey, bro, here's how to be faithful in Fayetteville. And I go back and listen to it if you so desire. It's there on our men's channel on Watermark Media. Just type in faithful in Fayetteville, and you'll hear some of the stuff I walked my son through and a link to the whole kind of exhortation I gave him as he went off to college just to share some more wisdom, just all of them, most of them from Proverbs, just to remind him the things that we've been over. But as I did that, my son went up there. We were laughing the other night about famous moments in the life of my boy, and one of them, as he was with me, he was like, Dad, my son and I have always had a great relationship. My son, by the grace of God, has never ruined his life with drugs or alcohol or wild women. That's never been his thing. His lust ran away from him for a while. I say that because he shares that openly in terms of just poisoning himself a little bit with stuff that we talked a lot about and did everything we could to put some guards in. Not enough, obviously, as a daddy. But by and large, he had just kind of grown tired of the wisdom that I tried to give him. I still loved him. I just said, but hey, bud, you're just not benefit. I'm long on you, but I'm getting close to being done investing. Here's the deal. You want to do business in Fayetteville? Here's how you need to do business if I'm investing in it. I'm going to love you no matter what business you run. But if you want your business to flourish and I'm going to be a seed investor in it, I'm going to invest capital in you, this is how we're going to go to work. If you don't want to do that, that's fine. But if you're going to work for me, which right now you are in college, these are the rules. These are the things that you want to do. And he just said, I am so sick and tired of hearing about how I got to do life from you, the way you want me to rig my life. I can't wait to go to college and blow you away with how awesome I'm going to do. He said that to his mom and I don't know how many times, we laughed a lot. We go, okay, big boy, you go rock it. Now, by the way, I hope you do. And here's how you can. And so when we came back after that Christmas break, as we had had many conversations along the way, he wasn't killing it in Fayetteville. Worked hard, has the gift of woo, retained his out-of-state scholarship on his own doing. Community said, we'd give him another chance. I go, I'll give him another chance. I'm long on that boy, but he's not getting it done now. He's not living according to wisdom. Give him another shot. We did. Anyway, long and short of it, that didn't seem to be the place that he would prosper, despite the fact that he wasn't getting drunk, despite the fact that he wasn't running through women, despite the fact he's leading a discipleship group of freshman boys up there at another high school. He just wasn't doing life well. By my testimony, his testimony, and the four or five guys he was doing life with. And so we said, come on back. And I just told him, I love you, man. You can go up there if you want, but I'm out investing. And what happened is he came back and he realized, hey, people aren't going to fund this crazy life. And he lived with us a semester until in the middle of that semester he was living with us, I said, hey, you can't even live here anymore. You're not respecting your mom, you should. We have to keep your room clean. You're not making your bed. You can not make your bed, but just not here. You got to live a skilled, disciplined life. You don't want to. I love you, but just go be free. And then he goes out. And as the book of Proverbs says, in effect, here's a loose paraphrase, the world has a board for every behind. And if you won't accept the discipline of a father, eventually you'll get disciplined by the world. And I think you realize all of a sudden, when cell phone bills, car insurance, gas, and all that comes to play, it's time to be a man. And I got to tell you, the same book that my son was around for a long time, he started digging into. The Proverbs that he memorized, he started to meditate on and live by. And if you were smart enough like me to go long on Cooper Wagner in 2016, you'd be a rich man today. And I want him to close us in prayer. And me and eight of his college buddies are going to spend the next 9 weeks together studying Proverbs. And it's going to be awesome. This leader in college ministry, this discipler of young men and women here at Watermark as he goes to school now in Dallas, is a man you should know and a man you should respect. And I'm proud to be his daddy. Always have been, but now I watch that brother sail, not because he knows the Proverbs, but because he's defined by them. Don't make the mistake of sitting with your dad the next 9 weeks and just blowing it off and going your own way and say, I'll show you how I can live. I know your words. I'll show you how to live. Apply this stuff. Come on up here, Coop. Grab that red mic right there and pray for us. This is You know, as Coop gets ready to do that, I just want to, you know, he wrote me a note not long ago where we got to talking about, in effect, just some of the stuff that he learned. And one of the things he said, I'll just read it. We talked about, you know, this. He said, "Dad, I've started this email like 6 different times trying to figure out how to address, you know, this topic. But I decided the best way to do it is just to thank you and let you read this letter to them. Let me start by saying thank you for staying with me for 21 years. And see, some of you guys need to today go home and write a letter to your father and just say thank you for staying with me and put in your age. Because your father is staying with you. He is long on you. He wants you to be a guy that he wants to put before other men. And he wants you to be a man that others are blessed by." I'll tell you this. I don't even know if I told you this, Coop. I got a letter yesterday. There's a gal that wrote in and asked a question to Real Truth real quick about being abused at work, and she didn't like her job. She had to work a second job to pay off college loans. She would go home crying, and she wrote a question to Real Truth real quick saying, "I need to know how I can handle these people that are abusive to me." All right? We responded to her, told her we're going to try and help her in different ways. Here's what I didn't know. 2 days later, my son goes to the Chipotle that she's working at. He didn't know I got this note. I didn't know he was going to that Chipotle. I didn't even know where the gal worked. But lo and behold, I got a follow-up email saying, "You need to know something. There were 2 guys that came through my Chipotle line today, and they smiled, they loved me, I was being abused, and they cared about me, they picked me out, they shared Christ with me, and I know one of them. It's your boy. And you want to know how to get along at work, you run into people that are going to build you up and lift you up. And today, this place I didn't want to be because your son was there, bless me." Right? I'm just telling you, I got that note and I just thought, man, how amazing is that? All right, now look, Coop's going to make mistakes, so am I. But you've got a father that's long on you. I want you to get the rigging right. And when you do, it's a blessing. It's a blessing. All right, Coop, 7:59, pray us home.
Father, thank you just for this time we're going to have the next 9 weeks to just dive into your word, God. I pray that we would be attentive to the wise words that you've given us through Proverbs. God, I pray that a room full of idiots would become a room full of people who can live skilled. I pray that we wouldn't just read this and look at it and walk away and forget what it says, God. But I pray that we would, like James 1:23-25 says, we would remember the perfect law and meditate on it and apply it to our lives, that we may go on to bless those that we interact with. Thank you for just a bunch of guys who want to do that, and I pray that, God, you would just change our hearts these next 9 weeks that we may love and serve the world that we interact with. We love you, and thank you for the cross. Amen.
Amen.